I'm Gloria Palmisano, and I'm the project manager for REACH Detroit Partnership, which is a community project of Community Health and Social Services Center Incorporated, which is CHASS. So our project is called Youth, or our presentation is Youth Health Promotion Challenge, using a CBPR approach to address functional health literacy and type 2 diabetes to prevent prevention in African American and Latino adolescents. It's a list of the authors and the Health Literacy Steering Committee members. There's no financial or other conflicts of interest to disclose. And our presentation will give a brief overview of what health literacy is, talk a little bit about the REACH Detroit Partnership. Throughout both the REACH Detroit Partnership and the Health Literacy Project, we use community-based participatory approaches. The need for type 2 diabetes prevention in African American and Hispanic adolescents. And then Dr. Valeria will talk about the Youth Health Promotion Challenge program. And in keeping with CBPR, that's why we're up here together, community partner and our academic partner presenting together. And she'll be talking about the preliminary findings, the implications for practice, and also next steps. So the Department of Education and the National Assessment for Adult Literacy define literacy as the ability to use printed and written material or written information to function in society, to achieve one's goals, and to develop one's knowledge and potential. While general literacy is important in public health, we also need to consider health literacy, which is the most commonly defined as the degree to which individuals have the capacity to obtain, process, and understand basic health information and services needed to make appropriate health decisions. The Institute of Medicine's report on health literacy, A Description to End Confusion, estimated that 90 million people in the U.S. have difficulty understanding and using health information, indicating that approximately 1 in 4 individuals may have inadequate health literacy. A focus on health literacy is also important, as several studies have found that inadequate health literacy is a strong predictor of a person's health, is a stronger predictor of a person's health rather than age, income, employment status, and educational attainment and race. Given that populations with disproportionate rates of chronic disease and mortality are more likely to have low or inadequate health literacy, it's important to account for health literacy in health disparities research. The Department of Education estimates that 46% of U.S. students read below the grade level. Current research in adolescents and health literacy estimates that 1 in 3 adolescents have low health literacy. And furthermore, research has found adolescents with low health literacy are twice as likely to exhibit aggressive or antisocial behavior, use tobacco, and misuse alcohol. Sharif and colleagues also found that low adolescent literacy is associated with a higher body mass index. So the REACH Detroit Partnership, which is affiliated with the Detroit Community Academic Urban Research Center, they have led a multi-level family, health system, and community and social support interventions to address racial and ethnic health disparities among Latinos and African Americans with type 2 diabetes living in the east side and southwest side of Detroit. The REACH Detroit Partnership has been in existence since 1999 doing these interventions. And as part of their work, they continue to seek input from the communities that they're working with, the participants and the different partners and other stakeholders. So in this process, they learned about what was working with the interventions that they were implementing and what was not, and next steps that that we needed to take. So in developing our strategic plan and gathering information from the folks that I mentioned, one of the areas that we had not been targeting was youth and their risk at getting diabetes. So that was in our strategic plan, but we made the decision to go to work in a more thoughtful manner on how we wanted to approach, begin working with youth. And so in 2008, the Health Literacy Steering Committee, which is another project affiliated with the Detroit Urban Research Center, Dr. Valerio heads that steering committee, approached CHASS. And again, CHASS is Central Coordinating Agency for the REACH Detroit Partnership. And the executive director is Ricardo Guzman. CHASS is a federally qualified health center. And approached CHASS to do a health literacy project. Initially, it was for asthma. However, the population at CHASS, there was a greater need to do diabetes work. So we decided to, this was a great opportunity to work with the Health Literacy Steering Committee to begin working and addressing the issues of diabetes among youth. Okay, so I think you're on. Oh no, I'm sorry. I got carried away once I start talking. I'll do the background. So, well, let me just say that we examined the diabetes health, diabetes-related health status, care and behaviors for African American and Hispanic residents, as I said, in the two Detroit communities. We developed, implemented, and evaluated community interventions, including the Journey to Health and El Camino de Salud, which is our curriculum for diabetes education and diabetes self-management. So a little bit of a background on type 2 diabetes related to adolescents. So type 2 diabetes, I think everyone knows, has reached an epidemic proportion in US and internationally. Whereas type 2 diabetes was rare in youth, we're now seeing a growing number of youth being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes annually. Recognized risks for type 2 diabetes are associated with obesity or overweight, a family history of diabetes, history of gestational diabetes, physical activity, and race and ethnicity. Given current estimates that predict that 1 in 3 individuals will have type 2 diabetes by 2040, it is especially important to identify effective strategies to better address type 2 diabetes prevention and the delay of onset. So of concern is not only that 8 to 45% of new pediatric diabetes cases may be type 2 diabetes, but also that an estimated 2 million adolescents between the age of 12 and 19 have prediabetes. Driving this increase in type 2 diabetes cases in youth is the prevalence of overweight in youth and the increase in metabolic syndrome in these overweight and obese youth. And then another concern to public health practitioners is that African Americans and Hispanics, as well as Native Americans, are at greater risk, and it has implications for the elimination of health disparities in marginalized and minority populations. And Dr. Valerio will talk about the project.
Thank you, Gloria. We used both qualitative and quantitative methods to examine the need in the community. We began with 12 key informant interviews with parents of teenagers who were currently diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, community-based organization representatives that were serving the youth population in the community, and also with youth participants 14 to 17 years of age. The results were used to inform the design of the program, the Youth Health Promotion Challenge, and those results came back to the steering committee, and we then designed the program. We also used a pre-post-test randomized feasibility study to examine and begin exploring not only capturing a baseline of the need in the population, but also looking at the possibility of whether or not the program was being effective. A total of 46 participants were enrolled in the feasibility study, and we had 22 randomized to the intervention and 24 to the comparison group. In the in-depth findings, we found that adult caregivers with diabetes and community-based organization representatives felt that there was a lack of engagement in physical activity by community adolescents and children. These were due to specific factors of safety as well as the environment. Diet and food intake of adolescents was poor. Communication with family about diabetes was often minimal in the African-American community and the Hispanic community. We found that adolescents were engaged in type 2 diabetes care-related tasks, including serving as interpreters for parents at physician visits. Additionally, we found that the youth participants felt that type 2 diabetes just happens. It happens to all of us. They did not see themselves as vulnerable or at an increased risk for type 2 diabetes due to their parent or caregiver's diabetes status. We also found that environmental and individual level barriers to participation in physical activity were recognized by the youth participants. Food and nutrition was specifically discussed, also their love for chips, especially hot Cheetos, sodas, and candies, as well as affordability and availability of healthy food options in the communities. We took each of the challenges and barriers identified and specifically came up as a steering committee with how could we address these within the intervention sessions. The intervention sessions were also driven by HP 2010 health literacy and communication priorities, including prevention, clinical, and navigation of the healthcare system. So we carefully looked at the identified challenges and barriers and developed the six-session program. We used social cognitive theories, specifically self-regulation, as well as diffusion of innovation to look at development of the and evaluation of the intervention. We tailored language to include, per our steering committee members in discussion, looking at pop culture as well. So instead of goal setting, we use terms like challenges to make it more available and relevant to the population. We reviewed participant recruitment and target population, was a family history of type 2 diabetes, African American and Hispanic, 14 to 17 years of age, and the participants resided in Eastside and Southwest Detroit. We specifically did not focus on overweight or obese adolescents because this was a prevention program. The steering committee was very careful about saying, this is an at-risk population. We want to address it and prevent type 2 diabetes. We don't want to only focus on obesity. We used different approaches in addressing numeracy, relevant food priorities, and not priorities, but relevant foods were used in the design of the sessions. Just looking at demographic characteristics quickly, we had more females participating, so we then discussed that and the implications of that for recruitment for a larger evaluation. No differences between African American and Hispanic participants, and we found that over 58% of the adolescents had below grade reading level using the Realm Teen. In clinical findings, we found that specifically 61% of the population had BMI age and sex adjusted greater than 85th percentile. And I'm going to skip some of these to allow us to discuss some of the preliminary findings. At post-test, adolescents in the program had higher mean scores in type 2 diabetes knowledge, higher self-efficacy, higher Realm Teen scores, and no differences in non-fasting blood glucose, waist circumference, or age and sex adjusted BMI percentile were found. We did see trends in improvement in all of these. There's a small number of participants, so this was also difficult for us to see changes over time because of the short follow-up period, but it was a feasibility study and we did see trends in improvement over time. The recruitment and retention of male participants in the program was difficult, but we have discussed as a steering committee how we can improve that. And differences in the populations were noted, so we will tailor additional, the sessions will be tailored some more. And in summary, in this study, 60% of adolescents were at the 85th percentile or greater for overweight. Although we didn't focus on that, that was one of the findings, and over 40% read below grade level. Knowledge and understanding of type 2 diabetes and risk factors in adolescents was limited, and the CBPR approach was very valuable in promotion of functional health literacy, as well as a significant contributor to our success in being able to recruit and retain a difficult-to-reach population. The promotion of functional health literacy by engaging in decision-making and care management may be a promising approach and strategy for addressing health disparities in at-risk populations. And I'll go ahead and skip our next steps and just want to acknowledge all our partners that are part of the Health Literacy Steering Committee. Thank you.